You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and of course YouTube at the Team 980, where you're getting, thankfully, just some lip syncing from Anthony Haney and not having to hear him actually sing.
Hey, hearing me sing isn't the worst thing ever, just saying.
It's not the worst thing ever. Like, you could, I don't know, I was going to say some terrible things. I don't want to do that. You're not... Strength, you got a lot of strengths, Anthony. Singing's not amongst them.
You don't think so?
Do you?
I'm confident in my abilities.
To do what?
Sing.
Well?
See, you're asking too many questions, Craig. One too many.
I know how to get to the bottom. Get to the bottom. Nothing gets past me, Mr. Journalism Man. Now I'm going to regret that statement instantly. Coming up on the show today, we got our latest reporter providing an update for the Terry McLaurin contract situation. It's Jeremy Fowler at ESPN. What do you say? We'll tell you coming up in just a few moments. That's where we start the show. Also, a story that we've kind of had on the back burner for a couple days that finally gets an avenue to escape to the front. We're going to mine it some attention. This story that ESPN and the NFL are now more than business partners. They have merged parts of their operations, and the NFL has taken an equity stake in ESPN. I got a couple thoughts on that. We're going to talk about that in 10 minutes. Also today, our guy, Travis Thomas. Travis going to join us coming up at 4:30, WEEI in Nesson in Boston. Of course, he was here at the Team 980 when he was in D.C., now doing great work up there, and he was at the joint practice. Ben Standing was there as well. He joins us at 5. Never read the comments, 5:30. On down the list it goes. We'll also later this hour touch quickly on the Aliyah Edwards trade today that the Mystics made, so we will get to that coming up at 4:45 after Travis before we get back to Standing at 5 o'clock. However, Anthony, I need you now to prepare the latest, very important Terry McLaurin. We need like a real sounder for this. Terry McLaurin non-update to update. Here's Jeremy Fowler this morning on ESPN's Get Up.
Scary Terry's contract situation remains scary. They have been far apart. I'll put it this way. He has wanted metrics of the DK Metcalf contract, which is $32 million. I'm told the Washington Commanders have only been slightly above where he was for before, which is $23 million. So take that gap, that's $7 or $8 million that they have to bridge. And Washington, I'm told, has gotten some calls about McLaurin. There's some interest league-wide. They have no interest in trading him still. So this is a classic standoff, which we're about to see.
Okay, a couple of things. One, that music is aggressive.
So loud, man.
Why is it so aggressive compared to his mic volume? I know it plays differently on TV than it does on the radio, but it can't be that differently. I just don't get it. More importantly, Fowler, math check. Anthony, I'm not great at math, but I think between the two of us, we can confirm this, and if we have to use a calculator, we will. He said that he wants DK's 32, which, depending on which DK number you look at, you can make DK's number 32. DK's 32, they're not offering more than his current 23, which is $7 million apart. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
How far apart are the numbers 32 and 23, Anthony?
I think 9.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. So, I want to know what's wrong with, like, which number did he mess up? A couple of things. Terry this year is scheduled to make 15.1 in base salary. His cap number is currently sitting at 24.1. That is the number I presume that Fowler is operating off. Oh, sorry, no, his cap number this year is 25.5. He's set to make 15.5 this year. I was looking at the wrong one. So 25 and 32. Now we're talking $7 million apart. So he probably just had the 23 number wrong. It was probably 25. I also could see a situation where they don't really change his number very much this year, and they add a couple years on, and that's the new money. Where they give him a nice base salary or some split of salary over the next 2 years and a decent signing bonus and whatever. How you want to slice it is kind of up to Adam Peters on the cap side of things. How much if it's guaranteed at signing, how much do you want to prorate? You put that in the signing bonus versus putting it in a base year contract that is whatever. I would imagine they probably just, and also it's worth mentioning, there's already $5.6 million of prorated signing bonus from his last deal on the books for next year. So whatever prorated signing bonus you have over this extension, you're adding that to this year's number, which is how this year's number is almost certainly going to go up unless it's an extension that starts next year. Or you are adding it to next year. I just have a hard time thinking that the Commanders are sitting at 25.5. I have a hard time thinking that the Commanders are just going to be obtuse about, like, yeah, Terry's eventually going to be in his 30s and they're very data driven and all that stuff, but they also live in reality. They know how much they like the guy. And last year they saw what he could do, and he was one of the 10 best receivers in football. And I also do sometimes feel like I hear the argument coming from the team side that, well, it took Jaden Daniels to get here. Like, look at the best receivers in football. Who are their quarterbacks? Yes. Justin Jefferson has, like, he's on some level an exception. But also, like, when he was coming up, he had Kirk, and Kirk's not bad. Kirk, I mean, the year he hurt his Achilles in Minnesota, he was an MVP candidate that year. He was playing the best ball of his career. And then Jefferson last year obviously has a career year from Darnold. And if you want to say, okay, fine, it's Sam Darnold, like, and he's still the best or second best or third best in football, well, look at the system he's playing in. He's got Kevin O'Connell, one of the best OCs in the league, a guy who is seen as a quarterback whisperer and gets the most out of every offense, and they scheme up a bunch of stuff for JJ, and he takes full advantage because he's awesome. Jamar Chase plays with Joe Burrow. I don't need to explain that one. AJ Brown's incredible. He also has a guy in Jalen Hurts that, while he has his limitations, he is exceptional at doing the things that AJ Brown is also exceptional at. He will give him chances on deep balls, and that is a way that AJ Brown has been incredible, and his yards per route run and, like, all this, these advanced stats tell you that AJ Brown might be the best receiver in football because he's so damaging within an offensive system that has a good quarterback, a good quarterback who does what he does really well, exceptionally, and the league's best offensive line to make sure that he can get downfield and do said damage. So CeeDee Lamb, he's got Dak Prescott, who's very, 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 very good, was MVP caliber a couple years ago. On down the list, the best receivers in football, the ones that we think of in terms of production, have great quarterbacks. There are then guys like Garrett Wilson, who you're like, I'm pretty sure that guy is awesome, but I don't know because he's played for the Jets. Like, if you put him on in Minnesota, how much different is he than JJ? I think JJ is better, but we don't fully know because He's played for the Jets. So I think the idea, like, that Terry is just some creation of the offense or of Jaden or whatever is clearly overstating it. I also, you know, if I'm the team, I'm only I am saying, like, hey, man, like, that's cool and all, but you're not one of the best five. You're not one of the best eight. You're maybe somewhere, maybe you're one of the best eight, somewhere between like 7 and 12, and we'd like to pay you accordingly. But also you're 29 turning 30 basically as the season starts, and we're going to pay you according to that too. So we'll see where it goes. The two sides definitely are far apart. That seems to be the latest. And I get, you know, giving Fowler a hard time, but it's like, he's going to get asked on it because he's an insider on these shows. So there's your latest non-update update, is that the two sides are $7 million apart, with the team apparently wanting to pay Terry what he's getting this year. And that's the other thing too, is like, it feels like we're also comparing two different numbers in that reporting, the this year number, unless they want to make that his AAV over the next couple of years. In which case that feels a little bit low. It feels exceptionally low. If you listen to Joel Corey on our show yesterday, saying he would be like, I'm not doing anything below the T. Higgins number at 28.7, I think is T's number. And the Terry side is obstinately stuck on this DK Metcalf 33, 32, whatever number it is that they're stuck on. And they're not budging at all. So another day, that's where we are. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio 2. And coming up next, the NFL Network and the NFL in general are now in business in a very different and significant way with ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, both in their self-proclaimed motto and, if we're being honest, in reality. So what's that mean for you as someone who watches the NFL and consumes news from ESPN? We'll discuss next on The Hoffman Show.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Our old pal Travis Thomas joins us coming up at 4:30 here on the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, streaming on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. And if you miss any part of the show, make sure you check it out on YouTube on demand at the Team 980 or the podcast. Just search the Hoffman Show wherever it is you get yours, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So monster news earlier in the week that if you're a sports fan, you should definitely care about. And frankly, if you're a person in the world, if I want to make this a much, much bigger existential deal, ESPN and the NFL, I've been in business a long time. If you've read any histories of ESPN of any length, you know that in the 1980s, when it started to acquire the rights to the NFL, it was the launch point for ESPN to go from this fledgling cable sports network with a bunch of random stuff on it and a couple of nice like properties, college basketball. Obviously, it's synonymous, the early days of ESPN, with the Big East conference. May it rest in peace in any semblance of a thing that I recognize, because I'm old now. Because Anthony, I went to school at Syracuse University in the Big East.
I know.
You went to school at Syracuse University in?
The ACC.
Yeah, you did. But it was the mid to late 80s when the rights to NFL games and like NFL primetime is born, the Schwami and the whole deal. And then eventually they get games and they get Sunday Night Football, which I think followed. It was those were either simultaneous or it was very closely after. So the NFL and ESPN have been in business, and it has been arguably the biggest part of ESPN's business for a long, long time. But that is very different than the league having a literal equity stake in the media company. And now that is what we are going to see. ESPN and the NFL announced two simultaneous agreements the other day. The short version is NFL media, large portions of it. NFL.com is not going to be there. So like the website, the team sites, like all those are still going to exist under the NFL. But NFL Network, Red Zone, some of the other NFL properties are now going to exist under the ESPN umbrella. This was big for ESPN because they're launching this direct-to-consumer product. You've probably seen a lot of the commercials of like the future of sports. They are calling it ESPN, which is smart, not the ESPN app, not ESPN3, not ESPN. It's just like download ESPN. Good branding. Good call on that. And so you go to this app on your Apple TV or your Roku or your Fire Stick or on your phone or whatever, and you'll have be able to watch it by paying a certain amount, even if you don't have cable. I think it's going to be like $30 a month, and you can get all the ESPN channels, all the ESPN like digital only. Like if you're a soccer fan and you want to watch the Scottish Division game or whatever, like I don't know, Anthony, you ever open the ESPN app and you're like, wow, there's a lot of games here. And so sometimes it's like college football games too. In fact, a lot of Syracuse games wind up there. ESPN Plus, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Right? So you can get all the ESPN Plus, but you'll also be able to watch NFL Network and Red Zone, and Red Zone might be an add-on, but like it's a good business move in that way for the NFL. I think the big questions for a consumer that I would have are, one, how is this going to affect the product? And Anthony, you had a big, big concern when it comes to Red Zone in a second. But also, like, what does this do to the news reporting, right? If NFL Network or if ESPN is 10% owned by the National Football League and you're Adam Schefter, how does that affect your job? How does that affect how you report on the league? And I would say even more so, this is the one I'm watching, is how does someone like Don Van Natta do his job, right? Don, the GOAT or investigative reporter who has done a ton of work on the NFL, who Roger Goodell cannot stand. In a cartoon world, like Don would be like Scooby-Doo and Shaggy in them, and Roger Goodell's, you know, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those rascally kids. It's like the NFL's like, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for Don Van Natta. And whether it's Kalen Kaler or Seth Wickersham or any of his writing partners over the years. So I want to make sure that those jobs are safe, because those are really important. Like, journalism is super duper important. And I understand that we have entered a new phase now, right? Yes Network, I feel like, was one of the really first big ones where like, okay, the Yankees own Yes Network. We understand that. But I think it's wholly different for a league, like teams having their own extended media universes. I've just accepted that. But even leagues having their own network where it's like, yeah, it's the NFL Network. But this would be like, I don't even want to make other comparisons. It'd be like whoever's in charge of the stock market owning CNBC. It's like, that doesn't work. You need to have some level of independence. And I think it's really kind of interesting that there's now this whole new world of independent media with Substacks and like all these other things that are out there to report on these entities that traditional news outlets used to report on, but don't as much anymore or aren't trusted to anymore because now they are literally financially invested in or owned by the same groups of people. And so whether it's, you know, Paramount, who owns CBS and a bunch of other stuff, NBC Universal, Comcast is like this enormous company with a bunch of different tentacles. You know, the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos. So, like, are they supposed to, you know, Amazon is one of the biggest companies in the world. Like, you need to be able to report on a company of that size. How do Washington Post reporters feel covering news about Amazon? Like, it's a weird, clearly we're not in a great spot in journalism. But I think this is, in the sports world, one of the more significant lines we've crossed. And I'm very eager to see how much independence is maintained from ESPN. And frankly, Anthony, does ESPN care? Because I think ESPN has leaned quite a bit into the E at the start of their name. They're the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network. And the entertainment factor has certainly usurped the journalism. They don't have the shows that did the journalism anymore, and they've laid off many of the journalists in favor of, you know, Stephen A. Smith and other talking heads like that. So, I don't know, man. Like, part of this is just a giant lament of the loss of an industry. But it's also, I think, something that our listeners who are football fans should know what they're watching and should have a keen eye and a close eye on what happens between the NFL and ESPN over the years to come.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I definitely was a little upset about the NFL red zone news.
Anthony's like, you're upset about journalism and the state of the world. Yeah. I'm mad that there's going to be commercials during red zone.
There are, man. Like, Scott Hansen, like, he's going to be interrupted. But no, I think to your point, though.
No, I want you to make your point. I made my point. I want you to make your point.
I think your point is also valid, though, but I think just going over to, you know, I guess what us consumers, you know, love and appreciated about, you know, NFL Network was the fact that, you know, Red Zone was its own little entity and it did its own little thing. And Scott Hansen did a fantastic job. So,
I mean, he's still going to do it.
Yeah, but will it still have the same effect? I mean, I guess
that's
it
the
will.
Thing. Like, I wonder, no, like, this is the same thing. Inside the NBA, like, they're going to be on ESPN now. Are they going to still, like, I want Ernie Johnson. I want it to be so similar to the TNT show that Ernie Johnson says, this is the Inside the NBA on TNT on ESPN.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want him to say. I know that's not how it's going to work. They'll probably just say it's Inside the NBA, and they're not going to say ESPN.
Yeah.
Or if they do, Charles will, like, yell something inappropriate every single time. I want it to look the same. And, like, I think this is something, too. This is a social media rant for a different day. Like, did you see Instagram launched a repost feature?
So, I haven't updated mine, but I'm going
mine
to do
automatically
it
update it.
Oh.
So, basically, like, you can repost stuff. I don't want that. Like, Instagram was great because I could follow my friends and see, like, what's going on. Like, when Anthony goes on vacation, I want to see Anthony's vacation photos. Like, that's what Instagram was, and that's what made it great. And now it's a bunch of meme accounts all posting the same three memes. And, like, now I'm going to get people reposting other people's stuff? Like, no. The collaboration,
that's
fine.
Nasty.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous. And so, like, all these social media networks have tried to become what they're not.
Yeah.
That drives me bananas.
Stay in your lane.
Yes! That. TikTok doesn't need to be Instagram, which doesn't need to be Twitter, which doesn't need to be whatever else. Like, do your thing.
Yeah.
Freaking gigantic companies trying to all be everything at once.
I definitely don't want to update my Instagram now. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's going to do it for you eventually.
Yeah.
Get it over with.
You're right.
Anyway, Travis Thomas was at joint practice yesterday up in New England. The former DC Sports Radio host, who Anthony knows very well, and so do I. He joins us next on The Hoffman Show.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
The Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980, streaming as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio now as well, YouTube at the Team 980. And it's time to welcome in one of our former colleagues at the Team 980. In a weird roundabout way, I replaced this guy when he left and went to New England. But now we get to bring him back because he was in New England. He was at joint practice yesterday. Travis Thomas, what up, my guy?
What's up, brother? Hey, man, I don't even look at us as colleagues or replacement or any of that nonsense. We're family, man. It's always good to hear from you.
Hey, I'll take that any day of the week. It is great to have you on the show. And you were at joint practice yesterday. Of course, Travis, now with Nesson and WEEI up in the New England area, up in Boston, and you were out there. So just like when you left practice, you walked away, whether it was a Patriots thing or a Commanders thing, like what's the thing that you were, as you're walking to your car being like, okay, that's the thing I can't stop thinking about?
Oh, man. I mean, it was obviously the quarterback situation. You know, everybody from that practice is talking about all the fights and how Mike Vrabel jumped in a fight. And up here in town, everyone's talking about Jason Tatum was at that practice walking around without a boot. There were a ton of storylines. But look, I came into that practice looking for Jaden Daniels against Drake May, because those two, I think that entire quarterback class are going to be attached at the hips for their entire careers, for better or for worse. And so I wasn't disappointed. I mean, Jaden Daniels, I don't need to talk to anyone there about how great he is. And he looks every bit of it. I did get some insight. I knew a little bit about the virtual reality stuff, but I didn't know how deep it was. So I got a ton of insight on that in terms of how Jaden Daniels prepares. But I was really impressed with watching Drake May against Jaden Daniels. I was looking at every rep, every throw, compare and contrast. That's what I do for a living. I'm a loud mouth to talk about this kind of stuff. And I was really impressed with Drake May. I thought, you know, obviously, Jaden Daniels, as I have called it, has a head start because of his supporting cast. You guys finally got some good ownership down there, good front office, good coaching. And so all of it came together. New England right now is in that process. I mean, you know, Drake May's rookie year was an absolute nightmare in terms of coaching with Jerod Mayo and that failed experience. But now with Mike Vrabel, you know, the front office has it together. They made some wholesale changes. They did get him some talent to surround him and Stephon Diggs and others. And Drake May looked every bit of the part that he belonged on the field, at least, with Jaden Daniels. I would not have said that last season for obvious reasons. So that was my biggest takeaway was, damn, both of these quarterbacks, I already knew Jaden Daniels, but both of these quarterbacks belong together. You know, Drake May belongs in that same class. Now he's got to go out and put the results behind it. But in terms of talent, they're right there.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the interesting thing to watch over their careers. And I said this, I don't remember if I said this on the air somewhere or just talking to somebody over the last 24 or 36 hours of like, there's a chance that 5 years from now, these two are the best two quarterbacks in the league. And so the idea that like, I think Commanders fans were ready to come up there and probably throw things at your house, because if you dare put anybody in the same sentence as Jaden outside of like the big four these days, I think people are already like, what are you doing? And obviously, like you said, Drake has to do it on the field. But what is it about May that you find so compelling? And then what are the areas that you think Daniels is still ahead at this point where Drake's got some catching up to do besides just proving it on Sundays in the fall?
It's funny because the answer to both of those questions we heard on draft night, and it's true still now, a year into both of their careers, which was Drake May physically, athletically, is gifted. He can make all the throws from every platform. He can throw a football over those mountains. He's, you know, he's sneaky fast. He's all these things, right? And, you know, obviously we know all those things about Jaden Daniels rings true as well. The difference was Jaden Daniels had more experience in college, had been around, played in different systems. He was more pro-ready, okay? And he was more prolific in college. He was a better college player, no question about it. With Drake May, it was on draft night, it was more of a he's a raw piece of clay that needs to be molded and put together and built. And it's funny. You know, now we look a year later, and I still, you know, watching them head-to-head, I have the same takeaways. I mean, Jaden Daniels is smooth as all hell. He is jazz. He is just everything's put together. There's no bad notes. There were times, I'll tell you a quick sidebar before I get to Drake May. There were times during this joint practice where I was talking to the Commanders reporters and saying, like, I don't feel like he's working that hard. And they said, well, it's just second nature at this point. And the Commanders don't push him physically as hard as you would think. They push him more in the mental aspect. And then that's when I learned about the VR stuff and how he watches virtual reality tape at a faster speed than normal even. And him and Cliff Kingsbury have some weird type of mad scientist things that they do together in terms of watching film and preparation for defenses. So I'm learning about this with Jaden Daniels. They are pushing him mentally. That's not the case here in New England. You're pushing Drake May mentally, yes. But you're also dependent on him physically for so many things. And so watching the joint practice yesterday and then watching the evolution of Drake May that I've seen with thine eyes over the last year, I see now, okay, it's not just all physical. Drake May in his rookie year, man, his offensive line sucked. He had no weapons. The coaching staff weren't even grown-ups, for God's sakes. No one had any experience in this. And it looked like it. And he got by. They won four games, and he got by on athleticism. Raw, pure dog. And he delivered. Now I'm seeing more structure and more nuance to his game. And you saw it yesterday. He was throwing absolute darts in that. And so, look, you know, I think now this season, we're going to see the maturation of Drake May, and you could see more Jaden-esque type results from Drake May.
Travis Thomas, Nesson, WEI, up in Boston with us here on the Hoffman Show. How has that Patriots offense looked in general this camp, Travis? Because the Commanders defense has played very, very well. And I think that there's some questions about how much of that is what they've been able to do and grow and build versus Terry McLaurin isn't practicing, Noah Brown's been in and out, and while Jaden has still been spectacular, Debo's made plays, Zach Ertz has made plays, the rest of the Commanders receiving core, there's real questions there. So how much of the defensive, I'll go as far as excellence, but goodness, has been Commanders offense not being what it's going to be in the regular season? So as we see the Patriots have a good day offensively yesterday, how does that compare to the days they've been having all camp long?
Well, look, it's funny. You know, your audience is used to rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. And now finally you're in a place where it's like, okay, we've arrived. Let's go kick some butt. I mean, you were a bad quarter away, I would argue, from being in the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's a whole different vibe now. But Commanders fans remember what it was like when it was rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. Now in New England, you know, obviously the people here are struggling with the reality of that the dynasty is over. But at the same time, they're far removed now. Belichick's gone. Brady's been gone. It's like, all right, we get it. Now we want to start seeing some results. I think it's that stage, Craig. I think, like, realistically speaking, the offensive line, look, there was nowhere to go but up after the last two seasons with this offensive line. The Patriots offensive line will be improved, but it's not going to be good. Stephon Diggs is an upgrade for what this team has had at wide receiver for the last 2 years. He's good, but he's not prime Stephon Diggs. This ain't Buffalo Stephon Diggs, and he's coming off a major injury at his age. So, yeah, it's an upgrade, but it ain't great. Drake May was raw last year, as I told you, but he didn't have a supporting cast around him. Well, I can already see growth in him from what I've seen in camp so far, but at the same time, he doesn't have the greatest show on turf around him. So, it, you know, like all this stuff is incremental steps, and I'm sure Commanders fans remember that. So this is really where the Patriots are. I think they will be improved. Craig, the best bet you can make right now, you know, it always comes back to gambling for me. The best bet you can make right now is to bet the Patriots over on their win total. They're going to double that. They won four games the last 2 years. This is likely a 9-8, 8-9, 7-10-ish football team, okay? So they're going to be improved. Up here in New England, we'll be excited to finally have a pro product to look at, something that doesn't make you want to puke your chowder every Sunday. So that's cool. But they're not, you know, I see a lot of people giving them 10, 11 wins, and they're going to be the sleeper playoff giant. I'm not there, and I'm here, and I'm watching this team every day. I think they'll be improved, but there's still some very important steps. So I would say probably a really good offseason, meaning draft class and free agency. Hey, Craig, this team has the most cap space in the league. So I think likely a very good draft and a very good free agent class away from being a bona fide playoff team. But I do think the Patriots, if you want to gamble on them this year, you can make a lot of money. They'll cover spreads, and they're going to win more games than you may think.
Travis Thomas with us here on the Hoffman Show. Taking more about what he saw at practice yesterday. So, Travis, there was a couple of plays where Laremy Tunsil proved that he's still Laremy Tunsil that we heard about just generally watching yesterday. Like, would you say that Tunsil was the best player on the field on either team that you saw?
I didn't get too much into the line play. A lot of the talk up here in town was Morgan Moses, obviously, who your audience knows very well and you know very well for his years there in Washington. And, you know, I didn't watch. I saw a couple tweets where it was like, you know, the Patriots defensive line did this or did that against the Commanders O-line. Tunsil pancake, a couple people I saw. You know, I know Morgan Moses did a good job. I could care less about the line. I'll be honest with you. I was watching the quarterbacks, and I didn't see a ton. I didn't see a ton of duress at all for Jaden Daniels. But I took a lot of that as I said, he's just so smooth. He's hot knife through butter. He just looks so intentional with the football. Like, there is no, you know how the talk in Chicago right now is, well, Caleb has to get out of playing hero ball, and he just has to stick to Ben Johnson's ball. Like, the thing about Jaden that amazes me, and I've been covering camps forever, bro. Like, I've been doing this for years. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks. I don't know if I've ever seen one as calm is him. And this comes across in games as well. I mean, we see him every Sunday, but even in practice, bro, he's so in command. So I didn't necessarily watch it thinking Tunsil was dominating. I just watched it like Jaden's just smooth. Of course he has time because he's getting rid of it. But yes, from that standpoint, the line looked very good. Whereas Drake May was under duress a few times, but we're used to seeing that here. And he still was making plays, and we're used to seeing that. But, you know, I don't – look, man, one of the reasons you love me is because I'm wild, crazy, obnoxious, and loud, and I'm a degenerate. I don't ever pretend to be some sort of offensive line connoisseur. When we start breaking that down and footwork and all that nonsense, I've left the chat.
I don't know. Can you find, are there even O-line like props you could find? Like, can you find someone to take like an over-under pancake block? Or is that too far down the rabbit hole for you?
Listen, brother, you can bet on anything with this stuff. I'm not interested. There are certain things I feel like I'm an expert at, and I'll bet on that. Offensive line, and even defensive line. Anything in the trenches, even when I was semi-athletic, I was nowhere near the trenches.
Not a trenches
guy. I was a receiver and a safety. I got nothing to do with the trenches. I respect it, though.
Of course. Who cannot respect the trenches? Got to respect the trenches. Just don't have to participate down there. Travis Thomas, you can watch him. He's a pretty TV boy out there playing wide receiver and safety. Also does radio. Nesson, WEEI, up there in Boston. Trav, always great to chat, my guy. Appreciate the time during a busy time of the calendar, and we'll catch you soon.
You know it, brother. Always a pleasure, man. Anytime you need me, I'm there.
It's the Hoffman Show, Team 980. Live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Ben Standing, probably less than 10 minutes. Ben Standing, today's not my beat, as he looks back at yesterday's joint practice. He was up there in New England and then looks ahead to tomorrow with us and really the rest of training camp, preseason, and what we're looking for moving forward. But, Anthony, real quick, the Mystics make a trade today. They are ahead of the W's trade deadline. Move Aliyah Edwards, who, man, I was so excited for Aliyah this year. And I think we have to be able to have a couple of thoughts in our head at once around this trade, that this is probably the best thing for the organization. It's probably the best thing for Aliyah, and we can also be sad about it, because Aliyah is such an outstanding person. And we've had the chance to have her on the show quite a bit. You know, I had her in the off season on my W Sports stuff, and we had a great bit. I still need to get and we will still get the jersey signed from her and Unrivaled. She had such an outstanding winter at Unrivaled, but unfortunately, she got to camp, was hurt, and this new young kid comes in, Kiki Iriafin, and oh my God, she's amazing. And so basically what happened was, like, she got Wally pipped. And I hate that for Aliyah. But I think if you're Aliyah, you look at the situation and you go, Kiki's clearly established herself. She's going to be the power forward here for as long as, you know, you can imagine. And if I'm Aliyah and I want to have the chance to spread my wings a little bit, I would probably do what she did, which is approach the team. And the Athletic reported this yesterday, and I was able to independently confirm it. She approached the team and, you know, earlier in the season was basically like, hey, I'm going to work my butt off as long as I'm here. I'm going to compete. I'm going to do everything. But if you find a deal for me, I'm not going to be mad about it. Like, you can trade me. And I think it's really important in the WNBA to have that buy-in, because it's not like the NBA where it's like, hey, bro, sorry, we traded you and your $20 million contract. Like, she's on a rookie deal making probably $70,000, $80,000 a year. Like, that's not her. Her big money came from Unrivaled. Her big money comes from Adidas. And the way you treat people in the WNBA matters a lot more, especially in a summer coming where the whole entire league that's veterans are free agents. And so I think that was it all seemed really healthy. Everyone around the team had nothing but amazing things to say about Aliyah all the way through. They eventually find the deal, and they wind up getting back in the deal a guard, which is better for the roster balance, in J.C. Sheldon. And Sheldon was actually the player taking one spot before Edwards. Now, I do think it's, you know, unfortunately, I think ultimately a lot of people are going to be like, well, those are the two players that got taken ahead of Angel Reese. But, you know, if you take Angel 2 years ago, do you wind up with Kiki now? Probably not. And I'm perfectly fine with Sonya and Kiki moving forward. So it kind of worked out in the end. But I do think that, unfortunately, that's what some people will think of. I don't know that that's entirely fair to Aliyah or to the organization. Also, you know, that was a Tebow's decision, and they're now no longer here. Who knows with what Jamila Wideman would have done if she was in charge at the time. But, yeah, that's kind of why this trade went down, is it's good for Aliyah. They're able to do something good to get her in a better place where she's going to have way more opportunity. And by the way, it's in Connecticut where she went to school. So she's got some star power up there, which will be nice. She'll be welcome with open arms. And it provides another option at point guard for a team that's still searching for one. Obviously, they hope that they took the point guard of the future in Georgia Amore. you know, last year, but I even think Georgia and JC could probably play together long term, especially if Sheldon continues to shoot the ball well. She's shooting it over 40% from three here in her sophomore season.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Craig. You beat me to it. My question was definitely going to be centered around the Angel Reese aspect of it in terms of whether or not, you know, I guess the T-Boats got that decision right or wrong, respectively. But
yeah,
they're not here, so.
Independently, if you look at it, clearly the best player of Sheldon, like the three players we're talking about here, Sheldon, Edwards, and Reese, is Reese. Like, not even close. The way Angel has emerged as a two-time All-Star, and some of that based off like popularity and like the way the voting works, like absolutely, but also she's the WNBA's leading rebounder by like three rebounds a game.
Yeah,
like her playmaking skills are really good. She's a very good basketball player. I think she's peculiar to build around as the centerpiece of a team potentially, but if you tell me I can have Reese or Edward or or Iriafin and Citron, not like, I think every team in the league would be like, give me the two. You know, the two rookies who just made it. And
not for sure, but I'm just saying,
you don't get the two picks. You don't get the two of them without the one. So, like, I think to answer the question, I think more directly and not tiptoe around it, did they make the right decision at the time? Probably not. Did it work out in the end? Hell yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And so Mystics fans, like, you can be very happy about that, I think, moving forward, because it definitely big time worked out. And by the way, it directly involving Chicago, because the Ariel Atkins trade, that third overall pick that they got back, was turned into Sonia Citron, who I think of all the players we're talking about is probably the best one moving forward.
Yeah.
So with all of that said, we get back to the football next. Ben Standig joins us to talk about joint practice yesterday in New England and the preseason game to follow tomorrow.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.